Welcome to the Intelligence Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lauren Larson. 2.5 quintillion bytes of data, created every day. Members of the intelligence community are tasked with wrestling that fire hose of information and harnessing it to extinguish threats and create an advantage over adversaries. The IC gathered in Tampa, Florida recently for the annual Department of Defense Intelligence Information System, or DOTIS, Worldwide Conference. Defense Intelligence Agency Director Lieutenant General Robert Ashley spoke about both the opportunities and the challenges of leveraging data for decision advantage.
Things like Post-it, superglue, and duct tape were not built by design. They were built by mistake. They were accidents. They were opportunities to leverage a capability, but that's not where they started. And so we have to think about how we innovate. And I am thoroughly convinced that there is nobody that innovates like America. And I saw that in the field with our special operators, with industry, with the guys teaming with the task force when I just left Bagram a couple of days ago. Data interoperability. So with all the unique capabilities, the designs that you bring to the Department of Defense, everything has to talk to everything else. Otherwise, we will be sub-optimized and we'll miss opportunities. And the opportunities that are presenting to us in terms of technology, many of those are dual use and they come with threats. In some cases, things that we may not have anticipated. And it is complicated. And in many ways, we can solve problems, and we can solve problems at speed. Our challenge is to solve the problem at scale. I can come up with a unique capability for a battalion, a brigade, where they can operate at speed within that brigade, but can they talk to every other brigade? Can they talk to other services? Can they talk to other nations? I don't know that we have as much a speed problem as we have a scale problem. And buried within that scale problem is the challenge of interoperability. And data is one of the fastest growing industries, and it has a laser focus of a couple of our key competitors, both China and Russia. And if you've not seen the defense white paper that China just published, I'd ask you to take a look at that. They realize the understanding of their ability to leverage data is part of what it means to be a great power. And Putin has been on record to say that really the people that can leverage and understand that will dominate. And information is how China plans to dominate in the future. That is their strategy. That is their strategy to get behind decision advantage. And so just think about all the information that's out there. 2.5 quintillion bytes of data created every day. In a market that's going to go over 100 billion by 2022. And so I think about that in context. And I go back to 1993. So 1993, Barbara and I are walking into Circuit City. Young captain, two kids, not a lot of money. And so we're looking at the Dell computer. And the debate we're having is whether we get the 4 or the 8 meg hard drive, because I'm not sure we'll ever fill up the 8 meg hard drive. And that thing was still like $1,200. We did go with the 8 meg hard drive. I can create a single PowerPoint slide now that's 8 megs. But just think about the technology, everything that we see between smart houses and everything that can control your life. And then look at the context of a smart city, a safe city that China is building on a global scale for what could be, you know, a safe city, better regulation, how do you do industrial control systems, how do you regulate the lights, infrastructure, industrial systems, or smart cities for how you can tag virtually everybody that's walking on the street. And where is that data going? And who's controlling it? So it's not just about the Internet of Things for consumers, it's other risks that lie out there in data and our inability to leverage it. Terrorist networks, misinformation, deep fakes, confusion, distrust in institutions, And then what's our job? As a combat support agency, we have to supply the warfighters with information that is accurate and that is trusted in an environment where misinformation exists. So how do we find that relevant information? How do we find accurate information? And as Neil Wiley, you know, says, it's that secret sauce, our ability to take publicly available information and integrate it with the pristine collection that we have. But as Jack alluded to, we have to do it at speed. It has to be fast enough to be actionable. And the policy that underpins the process that allows you to integrate that into our systems in so many ways, and I saw this in Afghanistan over the last week, are industrial policies that are not informed by the requirements of a digital age, but we're working our way through that. Challenges with acquisition, how do we address risk? And how do we mitigate that risk? How do we take a commercial application and integrate it in near real time and update it without having to go through this laborious process to bring it on our networks? So if you ask me my vision, it's the workforce, it's highly professional individuals, it's leading edge technology and how we discover information, how we create knowledge, how we provide warning and identify opportunities so that we can overwhelmingly have an advantage over our adversaries for our warfighters and our policymakers. And there's a lot of things in that to unpack. So it means an analyst that can work through large data can see connections in minutes that used to take us hours to days. It means leveraging constantly emerging tools, and this is part of what we saw with the task force in theater, the ability to leverage tools in real time that are being built and bring them into the network. And to be able to take that data with a degree of trust and risk mitigation and move it from unclassified to a collateral to a TS to enrich that analysis, extract insights, and then move it back down because your ability to share with a partner, a coalition partner, may not be on a classified, but it has to be on a secure network. Those are challenges that we have.
Lieutenant General Robert Ashley is director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, speaking at the annual DOTUS Worldwide Conference. When we come back, he paints a picture of algorithms shaped by tradecraft. I'm Lauren Larson.
From idea to battlefield, innovation is at the heart of mission success. At Leidos, we're helping customers accelerate readiness, resilience, and strategic modernization. Leidos is number one on the Washington Technology Top 100, bringing unrivaled talent to bear through our software factories and providing proven autonomy capabilities, agile and SecDevOps, and advanced AI/ML that allows you to see the full picture faster. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/defense to learn how.
You're listening to remarks from DIA Director Lieutenant General Robert Ashley, speaking at the annual DOTUS Worldwide Conference.
I would ask you to take the words proprietary and no foreign out of your lexicon. We cannot do that. We have got to be able to share with our allies and partners. If you go back to the National Defense Strategy, that is line of effort too. It is allies and partners. The door is open for us to push hard on our ability to share. Let me give you a good example, and it dates back to 1941. So there's two Navy and two Army officers that work cryptology, and they jump on a ship and they're headed to the UK. They have solved Purple. They have solved the Japanese diplomatic communications. They have broken it. And it's something the Brits have been working on. So they arrive. The Brits have broken Enigma. They've broken the German communications. But Churchill has given them guidance that you will not share that information. But the U.S. comes forward and says, hey, we've broken Purple. I know you guys have been working on it. This is how it worked. And the guy that's the head of the Secret Intelligence Service, Stuart Menzies, which if you're a James Bond fan, you would recognize him as M., although his moniker is actually C, which stands for Chief. So they have the conversation. The Americans say, we've broken Purple. Menzies sends a note to Churchill and says, can we share Enigma? Churchill says, do it. It should not take an act of war or the Prime Minister to get the authority to share that information. What was the outcome? It was estimated that our understanding of both Purple and Enigma codes probably shortened the war by 2 years. But we have to do that now. That's the framework and mindset that we've got to take for our senior leaders, our decision makers, is why are you waiting for the first shot to be fired? And we can start building those insights. And those insights are not just about during a conflict, it's about deterring a conflict. So for our focus, there's three key areas to talk about. Open source intelligence, our machine-assisted analytic rapid repository system, or MARS, which I think everybody's heard about, and obviously the flagship communications program we have, JWICS. And it's very important that when we talk about open source intelligence, we set that aside from publicly available information. That is an outcome of PAI, because if you're a logistician, you want publicly available information. If you're a planner, if you're an admin, you name it. And for too long, I think we've conflated the two of those together. And for us on the OSINT forum, it means we've got to be able to understand how to collect and process that. And so we made the decision this year that is an additive career field that we're going to build at DIA to understand how to collect and process that information, because we've kind of made it a pickup game, more ad hoc for other specialties over the last few years, and we can no longer do that. As far as large, complex data sets, DIA has been doing that for a couple of decades, but they're not all in the same place. They do not all talk to one another, and we've got to fix that. We got to figure out how we aggregate information together. And it gets back to the core of why this agency exists, is to provide foundational intelligence on foreign militaries and the operational environment. And since it is football season, my rough analogy is this is the scouting report on the team you're going to play. And we update the scouting report every single day. And not only that, we're going to tell you the good restaurants to go, where to avoid traffic, as we tell you about the operational environment. Best way to describe it is a vision as we create the best that we can to replicate a virtual model of our adversaries and our competitors. And Mars is our attempt to start building that baseline. It is not MIDB. It is not the modern integrated database. It is an information environment. It is dynamic, and we cannot build it without you. So think about the Arab Spring. And this is kind of where big data comes in, and what was taking place in the northern tiers of Africa. The communication that was taking place, the revolutionary conversations, the protests, everything was evolving, the conditions. And the IC saw those conditions, but from an indications warning standpoint, we didn't necessarily see the when this was going to all kick off. And when I think about that, I think about conversations I've had with senior leaders about August of 1914, the guns of August. If we had Mars, if we had big data, if we had AI, ML, and everything that we had now, would we have walked into World War I? It's a question I can't answer. But imagine, as the Arab Spring kicked off, if you were the CENTCOM J2, what was possible to know? What insights might you have had to see what was about to evolve that was sparked by Mohamed Bouazizi, the Tunisian vegetable vendor that engaged in an act of self-immolation? And I asked that question because when the Arab Spring unfolded, I was that CENTCOM J2. But with all the data, all the stuff that comes out, there is also a big piece of this that speaks to traditional analysis and good tradecraft, because you can't just say, the box told me the following. And so we're already working our way through that and building analytic data teams where we take a tool developer, a methodologist, an all-source analyst, and a data scientist, and we kludge them together to look at how we deal with information. And then we train those algorithms with good tradecraft, where I can tell you I have a high probability, because of the way I've trained that algorithm, that what I am telling you is accurate. And then the last piece is JWICS, our flagship for how we communicate. And we have to do this, and it has to be resilient, it has to be redundant, and it has to be secure. More importantly, it's going to have to increase in capacity. We're going to have to make sure that we get the funding, that it stays cutting edge, and that we're able to have high-speed links to deal with the volume of information that's coming in the future. And even as we talk about JWICS, those secure communications, we think about quantum. Quantum encryption, quantum communications, and are we going toward a point where not only is it JWICS, but it's we are leveraging commercial networks in real time to be able to communicate with partners globally where those networks that the Defense Department builds do not exist. So that's the kind of innovation we have to think about. And think about the chairman's intent for global integration. And we have combatant commands represented here. That goes back to my scale issue. Because the tyranny of combatant command boundaries will not bound our adversaries, our competitors, in great power competition. And so we have to think about how we are interoperable across combatant commands, across the J2s, in our core functions, and how we do foundational, how we do targeting, how we do collection management, how we bring in intel mission data to feed that F-35, how we do acquisition, and most importantly, across combatant commands, how do I do indications and warning? How do I optimize that? Because if I'm not interoperable with data and understanding and tools that speak to one another, I will be sub-optimized and I will miss something. And that's how we get to decision authority. And as you saw the quote from Eisenhower, and to pair to share another comment from Neil Wiley, where he says, you know, our job is to support Plan A. Plan A is diplomacy. But if Plan A fails, we've got to be ready to execute Plan B. And in great power competition, you got to bring your A game on day one, because if you don't, you may not get a day two. So we got to be postured to provide unparalleled support to those decision makers. And as Jack talked about, it's not just data. It's visualization. It's artificial intelligence. It's computer vision. It's machine learning. And those capabilities will evolve over time. And our competitors and adversaries are dedicating a great deal of time and effort to do that. So rather than have a conversation about who's ahead or who's behind, in the next decade, everybody's going to have it. So how are you going to operate in that space? Another quote from President Eisenhower, he said, the only way to win World War III is to prevent it, which for us is how do we create that knowledge, how do we create situation understanding, and how do we create decision advantage for our leaders? Because while they're working on warfighting concepts, their expectation is we are solving these problems. So let me close with one last quote from Churchill, and I think it's illustrative of a phrase that everybody says that, you know, you go back to Clausewitz on the fog and friction of war, or no good plan ever survives first contact. And the reason this is so important, I think it's illustrative of what Churchill said, was never, never, never believe any war will be smooth and easy, or that anyone who embarks on this strange voyage can measure the tides and hurricanes he will encounter. The statesman who yields to war fever must realize that once the signal is given, he is no longer the master of policy, but the slave of unforeseeable and uncontrollable events. That is the fog and friction of war. That is miscalculation. That is unknowable red lines. So our goal is that unforeseeable and uncontrollable dynamics, that fog and friction, will never be completely eliminated. But we have a chance to reduce it.
Lieutenant General Robert Ashley is director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Speaking at the annual DOTUS Worldwide Conference, he talks about the future of the workforce after the break. I'm Lauren Larson.
From idea to battlefield, innovation is at the heart of mission success. At Leidos, we're helping customers accelerate readiness, resilience, and strategic modernization. Leidos is number one on the Washington Technology Top 100, bringing unrivaled talent to bear through our software factories and providing proven autonomy capabilities, agile and SecDevOps, and advanced AI/ML that allows you to see the full picture faster. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/defense to learn how.
When asked about the workforce, DIA Director Lieutenant General Robert Ashley spoke at length and said recruiting will happen across all the combat support agencies.
So we're relooking training right now. Janice Glover-Jones, who is Jack's predecessor at our CIO, spent a year with Dell. And what she did is she was looking at bias in the workspace. She was looking at all kinds of different projects. She came back in about a month before she finished her year sabbatical and said, hey, I want you to read this article about AT&T. And it really is about how do you reskill the workforce to be able to operate in today's environment. And for us, it is taking those digital attributes, those capabilities and training, and injecting that into the workforce they have right now. So we're in the midst of Janice helping us scale that, and the task that I've given to everybody that owns a career field is to look at skills and attributes in the digital world, what you need to sustain, and where there are gaps that we need to build toward. Because everything that we're talking about, I can't say, tell me about the analyst of 2025 or 2030, because really that skill set is needed now. And so we're going through all the career fields and looking at what big data, data analytics, all of that means to every one of those career fields. So Janice is helping work that with, and we're actually looking at recruiting across the combat support agencies. Bob Sharp, who's the National Geospatial Agency Director, had a great idea a couple months ago. He goes, we ought to really get all the organizations together and talk about training, recruiting, promotions, every aspect of human capital. And so our chiefs of staff, over the course of the last probably 60, 70 days, have been meeting to look at those exact issues. And, part of it is retention of talent. You're not going to get rich, working for the government. But where we can, how do we incentivize, whether it's financial or other opportunities for credentialing, to be able to keep some of that talent on board. And, the one thing is to present them with the unique challenges they will not necessarily find in other places, to be able to solve some hard problems for the government and for national security.
You've been listening to Lieutenant General Robert Ashley, Director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, speaking at the annual DOTUS Worldwide Conference. Thanks for listening. If you've missed any of this or previous episodes, find them online at federalnewsnetwork.com, search Agency in Focus. I'm Lauren Larson.
Thank you for listening to the Intelligence Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
From idea to battlefield, innovation is at the heart of mission success. At Leidos, we're helping customers accelerate readiness, resilience, and strategic modernization. Leidos is number one on the Washington Technology Top 100, bringing unrivaled talent to bear through our software factories and providing proven autonomy capabilities, agile and SecDevOps, and advanced AI/ML that allows you to see the full picture faster. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/defense to learn how.
The Prince George's County Board of Elections is recruiting election judges to serve for the presidential primary election on April 28, 2020, and the presidential general election on November 3, 2020. The board is in immediate need of Republican and unaffiliated election judges. The board also needs election judges who are fluent in Spanish. For information, call 301-341-7300. Sponsored by Prince George's County Board of Elections.